In the name of God, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In addition to the gospel reading that we just had, I'm also going to add to the text this morning the reredos above the high altar here at the cathedral. This is a large space, and it may be a little bit difficult for you to see it. I hope if you're able to go up to the high altar for communion that you'll be able to take a look closely at the reredos, and if not, maybe after the service to go up and take a look. Among other things, Mary and John are there at the foot of the cross of Jesus. So the entire east of the cathedral, the great east window, and the reredos are all taken from the book of Revelation. We're with St. John the theologian, the seer, and we're taken up with him on the Lord's Day in a trance. And for a moment, the grim reality of an imperial gulag is fading away, and he sees the doors of heaven open. One of my favorite teachers never got tired of saying that in the Bible, heaven is not far away. Heaven is close, and there are doors, and the doors open, and there's commerce between heaven and earth, and the angels go back and forth. And we're with John, the theologian, the seer, we're with him on the Lord's Day on the island of Patmos, and the doors of heaven open, and he looks in, and he sees the Lamb upon the throne, and he sees the saints in glory, and he hears the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Now the scene begins to move, and the King of Glory, the Lord, crucified, risen, ascended, the one with the whole world in his hands, is coming again. And as he said he would, he's moving towards us, coming as he promised to make all things new and to perfect the work that he has begun in us, to make us new men and new women, fit for the new Jerusalem, which will come down and will be the final arrival of the new heavens and the new earth, and the glory of the Lord will be all in all. So we're with him. We see it with him. We hear it with him. We taste it in the bread and the wine. We experience it in the liturgy. And we have, as St. Paul says, an erebon, a down payment, a foretaste of the world to come, which is already arriving. Now, St. John gets out of that prison. He dies an old man, radiant with holiness and love, a recognized saint. Like St. Paul, he carries about in his body the death of Christ, that the life of Christ might be made known in him as well. What can the prison keepers do to such a man who has seen such things and knows such things? It's the keepers of the prison that are captive, and the saint who is free. In the midst of the disorder of this world, he is sustained and can sustain others by a vision, by an experience of the one who is coming to finish reordering all things with his love. So, as St. Paul says, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Already in the liturgy, we meet him for the consummation, which is already and not yet. So here's the question: how in the midst of a world which on the one hand is God's good creation, and on the other hand can sometimes seem as grim as a Roman penal colony, how in this mixed reality can we live with faith and hope and love? Live as those who have heard the angels sing and have smelled and tasted of heaven. Now we look at the feet of the Lord who is coming, and we see two figures.
You'll see them better when you get up to receive communion. Mary and John, the beloved disciple. Mary has a crown. She's been crowned the King of Heaven. They were there in Jerusalem outside the city gates, and they're here now as he comes again. Their posture having been glorified. Mary has a crown. John has a lily. Mary's flower. So I think of this scene as the doors of heaven open, and I think of these two figures at the foot of the cross, Mary and John, as doorkeepers, holding open the doors for us. So that we might see what John sees, know what John knows, hear the angels sing, and take heart. His mother and the beloved disciple stayed until the end, until Simeon's prophecy had come true and the sword had pierced her heart as she suffered the torment and rejection of her son. With his last breath, he gives them to each other. Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. The scripture tells us that from this day forward, the beloved disciple took her into his own home. Now, everything in the Gospel of John means more than one thing. So on the one hand, this is very practical, right? Mary needs a place to stay. John wants to do something to honor his Lord. And on the other hand, to take her into his own home can be a turn of phrase which means she became of the utmost importance to him. She became central and vital to him. Mary needs a home, the disciple needs a way to honor his Lord, but we also need, you and I, to understand the character of the true church and the life of the true disciple. And the figure of Mary and John at the foot of the cross gives us that, and it gives us the pattern of the relationship between the true disciple and the true church. Mary is the figure of the true church. The church that is more than what the sociologists call a voluntary association. The church that we can make whatever we want with enough votes and enough resolutions. Not that church. But she chose us. The church is our true mother, who gives us life, who brings us forth into the world by a sacrifice of love and obedience, who gives us the pure virgin milk of the Holy Scripture, who teaches us to sing with her, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary is the one who brings us the real Jesus, the baby of Bethlehem, the boy in the temple, the suffering servant who speaks to his friend and his mother from the cross. I was taught to notice what's taught by virtue of its absence. When Mary disappears, when she fades from sight, as she has in too many of our churches and in too much of our theology, when she's not a living presence, both the real humanity and the real divinity of the real Lord Jesus Christ disappear. And we get some other Jesus, an abstraction, instead of the only begotten Son of the Father, who takes humanity from the flesh of the Virgin Mary and by the power of the Holy Spirit tabernacles amongst us and became man. Mary, as a living presence in the church, holds out to us the Christ of Scriptures, the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us. The Mary that we see here, a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, the temple not made with hands, now crowned the Queen of Heaven, is also Our Lady of Sorrows. We've seen her before. We see her now crowned, but we've seen her before at the foot of the cross, Our Lady of Sorrows, accepting the prophecy of Simeon, keeping faith with her son in his passion a witness to the end. This speaks to me of the passion and suffering of Christ in his body, the church. We in the church take our place with Mary, as she remains a faithful companion to the rejected, reviled, and crucified Christ. There's a mystery here, a connection between adherence to the cross, the compassionate acceptance of the rejection and violence towards the Lord from the world, and even from within the church. This patience, sorrow, humble faith in the promise of the angel, which at the foot of the cross appears completely contradicted. There's a connection between this suffering trust, which does not run away. They all ran away, but she did not run away. They're there, the mother and the beloved disciple. A connection between this suffering trust and the crown of the Queen of Heaven. We sometimes see Mary's heart encircled with thorns and pierced with a sword, the sword of sorrows. But we also see her heart encircled with roses, as sorrows bloom with holiness and joy. The cross of Jesus Christ is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Mary shows us how to be faithful to the cross of Christ and how the way of trusting sorrow becomes the way of holiness and love and joy. She shows us the way to be crowned with heaven's joy. She shows us how to carry about us the death of Christ, that the life of Christ might be known in us as well. When Mary is honored, where her presence is honored and revered, the truth of the church appears. The church is more than a human association. The church that appears is our mother, the one that gives us life, that feeds us and helps us grow. The church that is humble before God and teaches us to be humble and find our true freedom and obedience. The church that shows us how to surrender to the Holy Spirit and be supple in the hands of God. The church that in the power of the Spirit is making us pregnant with the Word of God and bringing forth new life in our hearts and the hearts of those that we touch. This church, clinging to the cross, is the way to the crown of the resurrection. This church, longing for the purity and holiness of Mary, when this Marian church thus begins to appear in our hearts and in the life of our congregations, and when we, like John, the beloved disciple, obey the Lord and take her to our own house and make her of utmost importance and actually grasp and hold to our hearts this lily, claim this one, Our Lady, the Mother of God, then indeed the doors of heaven open, and we behold the Lord, who is coming to make us and all things new. And we see what John saw, and we know what John knew. And as John, we're able to live with faith, hope and love, with suffering trust in the promises of God. When the church begins to find herself even a little bit in the mirror of Mary, and we begin to find ourselves even a little bit in the mirror of St. John, clasping this lily to our breast, then the doors of heaven open, and what we see causes us to sing with Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.